The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Darren Svensson of KDEC Radio in Decorah and Nicole Presley of the Pella Chronicle. Darren, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Related to the issue of trade, you mentioned when we chatted the other day that you, many senators, and many Republican governors have raised their concerns to the president regarding these potential retaliatory tariffs. Follow-up to that question, when you have met with President Trump on this, do you get any sense that he sees your point of view or your perspective on that, or is the guy just ignorant on this specific issue?
Well, he might not understand the economics of it, but he's not ignorant about how he feels about trade and the justification for it. And he does listen very intently, but the bottom line, I think he's going to go ahead regardless. And as it affects agriculture, because this is the only segment of the economy I heard that he's had any backup plan, he expects the Secretary of Agriculture to step in and help farmers through the Commodity Credit Corporation. Now, he didn't use those words, Commodity Credit Corporation. I say them because that's about the only administrative setup that the Secretary of Agriculture has to help farmers in this situation quickly. Pella?
Tailing off of that question, Marion County is known for a lot of manufacturing jobs. So from those tariffs, how do you foresee it affecting Iowa's manufacturing?
Well, I think that at least Vermeer exports a lot and it's going to be very harmful to their exports. And I haven't heard anything about Iowa manufacturing saying they're laying off. But we do have some manufacturing around the country where people are laid off because of right now just the threats of tariff. So I think that it's not good news for manufacturing any place in Iowa, including the very smart manufacturing that you have there in Pella. Back to Darren.
Senator, related to a lot of this trade issue, the president has talked a lot about bringing those manufacturing jobs back to America. But wouldn't it be fair to say that a lot of the manufacturing jobs that have left this country are more due to automation than the jobs moving overseas?
Well, there's been some manufacturing job lost because of automation, but overall, I think that every economic study I've read about automation is that it creates jobs, and it creates different kinds of jobs, not making a machine necessarily, but the research and development and all the support efforts that go into automation, robots, et cetera. And I think that overall, it doesn't reduce the total number of jobs in America. It might reduce them in manufacturing, but made up in maybe some higher paying jobs someplace else in the economy. So I think that if there's going to be movement back to the United States, I think it'd be a continuation of that movement that's probably gone on for 3 or 4 years that you don't read much about it because it happens that jobs coming back to the United States don't get the publicity that when a factory moves something overseas. So I'll give you at least two reasons why it's possible that jobs would be coming back. One, quality sometimes is better if it's controlled here locally. Secondly, the decrease in the price of natural gas, energy, making it more competitive with foreign countries than what we maybe had over the last 25 years. And don't forget, we've just moved to increase production of natural gas because of the process called fracking. And then the other thing is that particularly in China, where we lost a lot of manufacturing too, the development of a middle class there has raised prices there to a point where China is more of an assembly platform than it is a manufacturing platform. And let me explain it this way, that when China wages got higher, their manufacturers could find somebody in some other country where they could do something cheaper. And so consequently, China lost some manufacturing. Back to Pella.
And kind of switching topics a little bit, as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, you'll be involved with replacing Justice Kennedy's position. While they're still talking about replacement, what kind of things are you looking forward to in a new justice before you cast your vote?
Oh, pretty much standard, and I'll define standard in just a minute. But it would be applicable to district judges, circuit judges, as well as Supreme Court justices. But I suppose in the case of a Supreme Court justice because it's more high profile and their decisions have to be abided by all the lower courts. It would be, first of all, respect for the Constitution and the original intent of the writers of the Constitution. Number two, respect for the rule of law, which would be basically that judges, justices as well, can't be super legislators and see it the way they want to see it. A judge that looks at two things, one, the law that's being applied in a particular case and the facts of that case, and looks at the law and looks at the facts and leaves their own personal views out of it entirely. That's called judicial temperament, but the idea is they're going to be judges, they're going to be impartial. And maybe one last thing, particularly for the Supreme Court, somebody that's pretty well written and pretty well educated. Okay, back to Darren.
Related to the Supreme Court issue, some names are getting thrown around. Reportedly, President Trump is meeting with a few people regarding the possible vacancy. From a process perspective, in your position, are you even a part of those discussions right now, or will you not hear about the nominee until it gets made public?
I don't think I should be expect to hear about it before it's made public, maybe an hour before, for the reason that it's not going to be much of an announcement if anybody other than just the one person, the President of the United States, knows who he's going to call in. With leaks in Washington, I think this is a wrong time to have a leak, so I wouldn't expect to be involved there. 6 o'clock a week ago today, I was called to the White House to get my judgment on the type of person he should pick, or if I had any particularly person that I wanted to be given due consideration. It happens that I did the time Gorsuch was nominated, but I don't have anybody this time, so I didn't suggest a name. I said, you've done differently than any other president's done. You've let us know, even before you're elected president, the type of person you want. And that fits the description of the type of person I wanted. So that's my input. Now, I could have further input almost any time I would call the White House. I think he'd take my call on this issue, but I doubt if I'll seek any more input unless something comes up that I can't anticipate right now. Okay, back to Darren.
And related to the Supreme Court process, a lot of noise is going to be made with this pick in the political climate that we're in. How do you, as members of the Senate Judiciary Committee, stay above that noise and make sure the politics of our current situation don't get overshadowed by something that's vitally important to our democracy?
Well, first of all, I think it's legitimate that we have different points of view when it comes to this, but that we have an honest, good faith, civil discussion about it between Republicans and Democrats. And then there's even some views that are different within the Democrat caucus and the Republican caucus. But I think the best thing to do would be to keep all of the discussion away from specific cases, like questions that are apt to come up. How would you rule on overturning Roe v. Wade? Well, the way you avoid that is follow Justice Ginsburg's rule. When she was up in 1993, she said that there's going to be no hints, no previews, and no prognostications on what I might do, because I'm not going to comment on something that come before the courts, because I have to be seen as impartial looking at just the facts of the case. So you're going to hear that Ginsburg rule espoused by both people that came before us under Obama and people that come before us under Trump now, because that's the only thing a judge can intellectually do in an intellectually honest way. He can't give any hint of how he might rule on something that's going to come down the road 10 years from now. And nobody should expect him to, but I'm sorry to say that some senators do expect that to happen.
Thank you, Darren and Nicole, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.